Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
We give you praise, Jesus. We thank and we honor you. There is none like you. Who is like you, O Lord, in all the earth? Who is like you? You're glorious in holiness, and you are fearful in praise. You do wonders, you perform miracles. You enthrone kings and also dethrone them at your command. When you say a thing, it comes to pass. Your words are yes and they are amen. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Who is that God that measured the depth of the mountains, that set boundary around the sea, that tell it this how far you should come, you go not further? You are the one whose words is always yes. And we give you praise. We honor you. You have decided to inhabit the praise of your children. We give you praise. Such an honor to be called, to be ordained, to be anointed by you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. You may please be seated. God bless you. Ah, thank you, Father. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Want to celebrate everyone connected online. So we started a series, Ecclesiology, which is one of the 10 branches of systematic theology. And I laid the foundation that the word ecclesiology describes the study of the church. Amen? The study of what? The church. So we looked at it from different angles. First, we checked the history of that word. Then we began to narrow our lenses into other forms of existence of that word. So when we look at the histology of that word, we agreed, according to scripture, that the word ecclesia is the word church. All right? And the first mention of that word is Matthew chapter number 16, verse 18. Is that clear? All right? But one of the usage of that word, all right, is the word house of representative, out of senate. That is, the group of a called out ones, called out to make decisions. Is that okay now? But we also agreed, according to scripture, that the word church, the word ecclesia now, stay with me. The word church is also the official, all right, okay, I told you, it's the official gathering of the citizens of a city to make a legislative decision. We also agreed that the church is the community of all true believers for all times. That is, from the resurrection of Jesus till rapture. That's the global church. Is that okay now? Everyone bought with a price, washed with the blood, sealed with the Spirit, are part of the church. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone bought with a what? Price. Are you with me now? What's the price that bought us? The blood of Jesus. What's the seal of our redemption? The Holy Spirit. You see, from the resurrection of Jesus till rapture, that's the church. And Jesus said he's coming back for that church And one of the words he used in describing that church is his bride. You are not married. Who is married there? Okay, you are married. Yeah. What state are you from? Ah! Oh, yes. One of my cousins married from your state. I won't mention the state. They gave bridal list. Group 1, A, B, C. It got to J. And then some women sat around the table. They will tell you group A. Was that what you did? Ah, okay. All right. Congratulations. You've seen something. I won't mention the state so people are not scared. Please sit down. So they list this is the bridal list. You understand what I'm saying? They list everything. My God, I was the best man. I was tired. But one of the things, 10 bottles of Schnapps, 10. Okay? When you meet those obligations, you are doing so because you are about to take a bride from that place. So what you are doing is called bride price. That doesn't mean you are buying her. But it is the price that the family has demanded for legitimacy of your union. Is that clear now? What was the price paid on our head as the bride of Christ? The blood of the groom. For this union to ever be, it was a union that was going to be between the dead and the living. Let me explain. We were dead in our trespasses. We couldn't marry. So Christ had to die to redeem us. Then he rose also in glory. And I explained to you that our union is not the kind of, this union is not, you understand what I'm saying? And I told you, because somebody can, maybe a guy now is having a feeling towards a guy and say, after all, Bible calls us bride. See, the devil is a stupid devil. He can pick anything to. True? I was asking a guy do like this, we'll straighten you. We'll straighten you, adjust yourself. You are a man. True? All right? Understand what I'm saying here? The reason why marriage was used to disconfine, act with Christ, is because that is the peak of word you can find. Actually, you barely find human word sufficient enough to describe divine things. So the only institution on earth where two different people can become one is marriage. If there was something deeper than that, it would have been used to describe our relationship with Christ. Exactly now. But follow me. So anyone who is bought with the blood, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, redeemed, that's part of the church, regardless of their denomination. So let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? Do you know when Paul was speaking in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know the hope of the inheritance he has for us as saints? Are you aware that scripture was describing the Holy Spirit? It was. It was. I watched Pastor E. Adeboye's speech during Mommy Gio's birthday. The speech was one of the coldest birthday speech I heard. I was terrified. You know, it was in the sense that cold, in the sense, you know, somebody telling you, I will kill you. The person is not shouting. Are you always saying it again and again? Every man has their red line. If you mess with my wife, I will kill you so thoroughly, you won't even wake up at the resurrection morning. I say, hey, Kabis. So it means this is one of the 7 ways or 1,000 ways to die. Touch Mommy Gio. I mean, but you can see the seriousness. How much more the bride of Christ? The devil can't cross the bloodline. You are special. Amen. What did I say? You are special. Say louder, I am special.
I am special.
Now, you are not just bought with a price. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let's look at that scripture. I want us to see that scripture. I was thinking I was going to show you when we begin to study, when we delve into pneumatology, but I'm going to show you now. Ephesians 1. Let me start the reading for you from verse. Even Ephesians 1, say amen. Now let me start the reading from verse. Just give me a moment, please. All right. Let's start the reading from verse 10. Look at it. It said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, it might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Are you seeing that now? Look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed. Look at that. With the Holy Spirit of promise. What is verse 14? Can we say verse 14 together? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Can we read verse 14 again? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is the earnest of our inheritance? Verse 13. In whom also you have taught after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom you have believed, after that ye have believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now I want to show you Ephesians 1 verse 14 in the Passion Translation. You'll be amazed at what you will see. Look at it. Ephesians 1 verse 14, the Passion Translation. Look at it. I want to pay attention to this word. It said that spirit is the guarantee. Are you okay? Sorry. Passion Translation said is given to us like an engagement ring as the first installment of what is coming. He is our hope, promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we all have redemption's promises, and experience complete freedom. All for the supreme honor and glory of God. What does this mean? Have you seen two people who are in a relationship? All right? And this one is going to serve. Maybe the girl. You know, relationship that survived NYC has survived. Oh, yes. Let me leave it there. I'm not here to talk about that. I refuse temptation. But when it survives NYC, camp, aftermath, family house. It has survived. Anyways, he can still die, but I'm going to say, okay, we are passed. Okay. But listen, guy said, now that you are going, all these guys, the guy think, he said, let me quickly propose. Put a ring. I asked the question. Some say, will you marry me? Blah, blah, blah. Some said, look at your bag, the left side, you see a ring I put there. Whichever way it came, all right? Just wait. Now, the ring is, God forgive me. My wedding ring is in the office in Ibadan. But before I gave my wife this ring on wedding, I first gave her a ring. That one is what you call proposer. Am I correct? That's why you are asking and all those things. Not that I made a lot of the ring. I gave her that ring 1 month. September. I married her December. No long thing. Okay? Now she was wearing the ring for 2 years or 5 years. The hand will cut. But that ring is the first installment of what is to come. Listen. So when the Bible says we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, even the Holy Spirit will do handover. Listen, at rapture, the Holy Ghost is the one referred to in Luke 10 as the Lord of the harvest. Are you following what I'm saying? Unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless. That is why he's here. At rapture, he will do his final job, which is the flight. He will hand over the bride to the groom who paid the price. Then he will stand. The first installment we have received, thank God. What now powers us is the life from Christ. Do you understand that? So, do you have the Holy Ghost? You have that seal. You belong to Christ. You are a part of the church. One of the things you must realize, so that you are a part of the body of Christ. But in the body of Christ, just the same way you are part of human race. But you see, if human beings were to be falling like rain, there will be chaos. Because there will be problem where there's no identity. Identity is a big deal. Hey, God. Identity is a big deal. Don't trivialize it. You see, I don't know. Many of us have our stories and the condition under which we were born. But, see, respect children who were born, who probably never saw or had the privilege of knowing their father. And they have to journey through life with the question, who do I look like? Who am I acting like? What does my father look like? How does he talk? Who am I? These are questions that look trivial until you are the one asking them. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why. See, New York Times, years back, checked. And they agreed, they came to a conclusion, having done their own survey, that 90% of the crime problems in America were daddy issues. Are you following what I'm saying here? Teenage pregnancy and all that. Somebody has impregnated again. Won't stay. Has gone. So you find men at 24 has 7 children. And he's still counting. 7 with 5 different women. And those children grew up. No identity. So what God did to help you with an identity is what is called the local assembly. He set the solitary in families. Physically, family is the bedrock of the society. Spiritually, the church, your local church, is the bedrock of the spiritual family. Hello. You have a spiritual family. The people you have here are your siblings. But you are permitted to marry these siblings. That's the difference. So don't go and say, I would have loved to marry you, but Pap Apostle said that we are siblings. Don't quote me wrong. Don't say that. How you can say that? Okay. Amen. Now, are you following what I'm teaching here? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, in order for you to have a curriculum, you see, listen. Every local assembly, first and foremost, have a mandate. Okay? The mandate is what determines the message and the method. The mandate is what necessitates the methods used, if it is understood correctly. Is that clear now? While God was giving that mandate and preparing the man with the mandate, he has you in mind. And we've seen that God does everything from eternal perspective. And he gets everything right. He will bring people from the west, from the east, from the north and south. God is the one who sets you in your local church. Yes, you have to make a decision to agree to be there. But the one who prompted it in the first place is God. And have you not seen how interesting it is? People come to church as individuals. But when they come to church, they meet their spouse. Some meet their spouse in church. Meaning that God has packages prepared. You met your babe. I knew him years back. I've known him for years. And I've known her for years also. But they met in church. Even me, my wife, is a product of this mandate. Because if I didn't obey God, I won't meet her. She came to attend one of the services and God said, that's it. So me too, I got my own package sealed, settled, delivered. Antenna broken, thrown into the ocean. When you get this kind, what are you searching for? Unless village people are after you. Pro Max. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's God's design. You see, when God made different creatures, He set them biologically in what we call their habitat. Okay? The fish, God did not put the fish on land. Then fish will find it. We put the fish in the water. Everything needed for the fish to eat is in the water. The day the fish leaves the water to find what to eat on land, it's dead. Exactly now. The eagles fly. Once in a while, they dive and pick fishes. The same way. Now, pay attention. They dive and pick fishes, but they don't dive and stay inside. They will die. And fishes will eat them too. True? And you can check. Look at the wisdom of God in the positioning and placement of different creatures. It puts them in their habitat and then put everything they need for survival there. Listen. Bulk of the things you need, God has planted it in your local assembly. That doesn't mean that you can't be blessed by other ministers. But the primary way God builds you is your local church. That's the primary way. That's the design. That's the design. Say loud and clear, that's the design. Come on, let me hear your voice. Say it again, that's the design. That's the way God designed it to be. The local assembly. That's His plan. I want to show you a lot of things tonight and I want us to follow. So, listen. Your local assembly is your spiritual family on earth. Say loud and clear, my local assembly is my spiritual family on earth. The members of my local assembly are my spiritual siblings on earth. Now, listen. How many of you have siblings? You have siblings. You have siblings. Let me wave your hand. You have siblings. Hey, what made them your siblings? One thing made them your sibling. You were told. If they had brought a child that was brought from outside and bring that child inside before you were born and said to you, that's your elder brother. You grow up believing that's your elder brother. That bond will flow until the day you probably find out. It means knowledge can determine experience. This is a new knowledge. Hey, the person sitting beside you is your sibling. Now you are being told. The problem with you knowing at this level is that now you think and say, my sibling, for where? I'm showing you what the Bible says. Give a high five to your neighbor and say, good afternoon, sister, my sister. Okay. Yeah. Praise God. Now, my wife is my wife, but in Christ she's my sister. Because now look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. One factor that unites everyone in your family is the blood. It's the blood. Okay? I don't have time to explain that blood. Because it is not what you think. I might have to go into the biology of it. Because in the same family, someone can be A, another one AS and all that. True or not true? Uh-huh. So, what blood? That's what unites. That blood there is referred to as the vital force that flows from the father. That's the one that produces children. There are other factors, the chromosome factors and all that. Male, female, the DNA, the code that carries all the characteristics they will have. Their skin pigment, all those things is embedded there. One may be tall, the other one not too tall. One yellow, the other one dark. But it's the same blood that bettered them. That blood bettered everyone, a sinner. The blood that gave us a rebirth bettered us with a new life. The seal and the effect of that blood is more than the seal and the effect of the physical families. What I'm telling you is that the bond you have with your families in the body of Christ is not less than what you have in your physical family. And that's when you understand this, you will never take accusing a believer as ministry. Because that's your sibling. That's your brother. That's your sister. You see, oh my God. Let me, thank you Holy Spirit. Let me calm down. Is that okay? And let me speak to you from my heart. Maybe something you don't hear me say publicly. You see, let me tell you this. It is very easy to have an atmosphere of pretense where perfection is the order of the day and that's the basis for acceptance. But it is much more important that we have an atmosphere of honesty. That we listen to what I'm saying. Let me tell you something. In this race, many things happen. People disappoint. I'm talking about in the sense that they find themselves doing the things they don't want to do. Let me tell you. It is easy to play saint before a pastor. But it is better to have a pastor you can say, sir, I fornicated yesterday. And you know that you'll be restored. I don't want to go into a story. Somebody just hear that now and say, are they raising fornicators there? And the person is masturbating. Care to call him pot black. I said, what is happening? Is that what they are doing? See, if the message of a pastor is to search for sin, he will see sin and multiply sinners in the church. Our core activity is to restore. If any man is caught in a fault, let them, with the spirit of meekness, restore such a person. There are too many cases of people dying in silence in church. Silence. This one is going through this, that one is going through that. Can't open up, can't talk to anyone. Because we have missed the objective of the church as a family. If you observe in church that a person has been wearing the same shoe again and again for the past 2 months, it becomes your covenant responsibility in Christ, if you can afford it, to change it. It is family. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You observe that somebody has been wearing the same shirt again and again. This fellow has not changed. It is family. It's our duty. There are many things I wanted to say. The reason why we cannot have straight-jacketed rule around those things is because the church is also a place of mixture. So permit me to tell you to understand the wisdom of the pastors when certain things are not thrown out in public. But if people who are concerned come in private, they understand them. For instance, we just come out now and say that, you see, somebody go out and get pregnant. We will not throw the person away. We are not. What I'm saying that certain things should not just be said, because Can I say what I want to say? Somebody might just be around who have the gift of impregnating women. Gift. Just dash them. And the fellow say, hey, I'm supposed to understand my weakness. That there is forgiveness does not give us a right to go on messing up. Where sin abides, grace abounds much more. That grace is not the antidote after sin. It is the enablement not to sin. You see, so sometimes people may gang up, you see, and then insult pastors and say that person this. Permit me to tell you, if you are not a pastor, you don't know what church really is intricately. The same way you can sit down in Abuja or sit down and say, what are they doing? Look at the price of fuel. Today, 600 and something. What? Until you get there and it goes to 2,000 per liter. Everyone is a professor at what they are not doing. Who knows how to play the football better? The one watching. You should have passed. Hey, meanwhile, they put them on the pitch. 10 minutes. They've gassed out. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So there are certain things that it is best in the wisdom of God that though they are true, the church should be quiet about them. Those that are concerned, we find out. Can I give you an example of such? Sincerely, you have no business trying to find out what we do when members get pregnant out of wedlock. What's your business? Are you planning to do so? Let me say it again. I said you have no business trying to find out how we handle it when members get or lead or whatever. Put title there. They are human. When something happens and they get pregnant of wedlock, how do we handle it? You have no business trying to find out. I say, I want to know. How do you... See. I want to join the church. I want to know. How do you handle when somebody misbehaves? Sir, your intention, is it to misbehave? Sir, we want to find out. What if a brother... Sir, lost after another brother. Sir, come out clean. What is going on? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have no business trying to know. What do we discuss when people are doing marriage counseling? You get to that level, you find out. True? Yeah. You just sit down and say marriage counseling. You go through this. What's your problem? So it is important. See, anywhere there is wisdom, things... The Bible says it is through wisdom that a house is built. Now, if there's anything about building, it is the procedure. Line upon lines, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. What do you do when somebody rebel? Do you plan to rebel? Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you another instance, because these are very dicey matters. How does Fair of Light Church handle it when God is calling somebody in the church to start a ministry? Thank God you can see that we have people who were with us and now are running their ministries. But see, there are, listen to, and I probably, if there are pastors listening, please pay attention. There is a way you will preach and you will cause chaos. And even those that God is not calling will say God is calling them. That there is openness and benevolence does not mean you should be thrown in the wind. These are sacred matters. Let me leave it. I've lost you there, so I should. Let me stop. Let me stop. Because you see, sometimes you may just say certain things out of excitement. Just so excited. This. But you don't understand what you are talking about. And you don't understand the chaos and the confusion you are creating by talking like that. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you an instance. Alright, the Bible says that the heir of the house, as long as he's a child, differeth him nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, is made subject to tutors and teachers till he comes of age. What I'm telling you is that even when you draw ministry structure from the beginning, some structures must be on paper. You can't affect them in the physical, because those who are to enter have not grown. Do you understand what I'm saying? In this church, why is it that it's about the the pastor, the lead pastors, they are the ones listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is time for everything. What is more dangerous than a structureless ministry is to put structures that are not due. When you put men, crown that is heavier than the man on a man, it sinks the man. Are you following what I'm saying? Because listen though, the ministry will crash when you enthrone novices. Because sometimes in a quest to, let's do this. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody does not believe in you as their pastor. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. Anybody can be a member of the church. The one who can share this burden with us must have accepted us. Not as a pastor, as their God-ordained spiritual parent. That's the way it works in the family. You don't plant ministry around other people's children. Their father can call them. Ministry doesn't start in place, it starts in people. We can't put things in your... Are you following what I'm saying here? You understand what I'm saying? What are you talking about? You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I as a wise master builder, have laid well the foundation. There are rubbish builders and there are master builders. There is a template for building. There's a template. You are starting a ministry as a young miss. Don't even see you as a leader. You just come and say, by the grace of God, bro, so-and-so is the vice president, and bro, so-and-so is going to be the coordinator, so-and-so. Are you seeing? Do you share titles in the hands of novices and go and say you have just planted what will hurt you in the most bitter way possible. In fact, you have destroyed men if you put things in their hands that they are not ready for. So you wonder the reason why we take our time. Why we train, teach, retrain, teach, and retrain, and teach. And we keep repeating. Are you following what I'm saying here? I can tell you many things. So. Sometimes I look around. It's not my business. I look at the people who understand ministry. As a pastor, you are not an ice cream seller. Your duty is not to make people happy. Your duty is to serve as a shepherd. Some things are bitter, but they are the future. You put position in the hand of somebody who doesn't even greet you as a lead pastor. He doesn't greet you. He doesn't even... The person is saucy, behaves wrongly. Everything. If people come around this person, they get the ministry wrong. They are hungry. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, so now by the grace of God, we make you the head of you. See, when the head is decayed, the body follows, decomposes. Maybe I should mellow down. Let me say this to you. It is a trap when you are in church and the devil set your heart against your pastor. When that happens, it will be noted, except the pastor is not praying. You cannot be a part of the inheritance, but you can be a member. You can be blessed. But the heritage of those who can share in the oil, you can't function there. If they put you there by mistake, you will fall out of the ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying, like I know my name. But see, you must, it is in your best interest, all right, that you love your pastors. I know what it means to pass excellently. Are you following what I'm saying here? I can tell you, one of the things I had to make on campus, there are lecturers people don't like. And me too, I don't like them. I have to love them. Because that's the only way to understand their course. They are sadists. But when you now love them, they know. Some lecturers, have you seen wicked? My father-in-law is a lecturer, he's not a wicked man. So don't let me generalize. All right, but listen. Somebody is taking a very critical course. He's teaching, and only those in the first two rows can hear. And the mode of communication, this one is not even a speaker. It's like he's reading from the textbook. He will give you the manual, the handout. If you are able to tell you, I will send something to your class rep. Blah, blah. They're confused. Some people will sit at the back. I don't mind him. They will fail. they will fail. They will fail, have extra, the man will still meet them there. Let me tell you something that happened. Geology department, OAU. A boy was behaving wrongly in class. The lecturer looked at him and said, "Are you not so, so, and so, and so?" The boy said, "Yes." He said, "I lectured your father. He behaved like this too." He told him, he said, "Are you not so, and so, and so?" He said, "Yes." "So that's your son?" He said, "Yes." "I remember, I lectured your father. This is how he behaves too." The boy calmed down. True life story. I want to call them up lecture, but I won't call it. He called the guy. He has lectured father. And we don't know whether the father carried the course. And the boy is on his way there. I am saying, listen to what I'm saying. In your local assembly, if God is going to use you, the manual, the training process is there. Once your heart is set against the house, you can hear a message. You can't be trained. I'm saying rebellion is the worst form of stupidity. And I tell people, listen to what I'm saying. I can't tell people, somebody is trying to convince you. Let's get out of the church. What is he teaching? Look at you. Ask the person, what you want to take me out of, do you have to give me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because tonight I want to pour out. Hear what I'm saying? One of the duties that the fivefold ministry gives up is to prepare the saints for the work of ministry. God will use you for men, but listen to what I'm saying. A teacher you always get wrong. You can't get from him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? At the first thing, listen to what I'm saying. Initially, you come by loving the church, but you survive by knowing the heart of your shepherd. Are you following what I'm saying? That, listen to what I used to share a very interesting story. I think this is one of the most touching story to me in ministry. Alright, maybe touching experience of correcting. I was correcting one of my spiritual daughter and her husband. Said, "You don't try this, you don't do this, you don't do that." By the time I was done with the conversation, she just looked at me and said, "I love you so much, Papa." Everything just fell. But I went home remembering that statement. And I said to myself, there's nothing this lady can do wrong. This person understands my heart. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me give you examples now. Some of you did mathematics in secondary school. Give you simple equation on the board. Assignment is more than times 10. You wonder, what is happening? You didn't even get to this point. But that's the way it works. Teaching, simple equation. Experience, deeper. Teaching, say, shout it, glory. Pass through. That's where the man is really tested. Are you following what I'm saying here? The local assembly is God's method for his move. Write it down. The local assembly is God's method. That's God's method for his move. That's God's method for his activities. That's God's method. Let me share this with you. Listen. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, please listen. I remember yesterday night, I was laying down crying to God under my bed towards PPC in the morning, and I heard one of my spiritual daughter's voice. So I called her. "What are you crying to God about?" She said, this. Let me say this to you. If there's connection, you will not have to say it for it to be known. Yeah, you are the one. Mm-mm. Connection. He speaks. In fact, that's people. You are getting something wrong. You will receive your rebuke in your dreams. Because God knows you are connected. That's the Holy Spirit working. So you will notice that. See, what is happening is that people want to set their life at such an angle where the shepherd cannot be a shepherd. And what happens is that he will not be able to warn when the wolf is coming. That is his duty.
But the sheep has taken himself so far. And it is a gradual procedure. Put your phone in, don't disturb the number that you know your spiritual father has. See the call, busy it or silence it. And you do it consistently that the person now admit, I can't reach him. When you make mistakes and God is able to bring them out quickly, it is lavish love. But here is also for you to know it is a trap. The moment the devil begins to take your heart far, it will plant you around strange fires to get you warm. Sooner or later, you will deny Savior. It is a serious thing. Now, let me teach you something. How do we handle offense in church? Listen, Jesus said it is not possible for offense not to come. There will be offense. There will be days that you don't even understand what is going on. Are you following what I'm saying there? Listen to me. Look up, everybody. Look up. Look up. Let me teach you something. Offense manifests itself in three things. Number one, bitterness. Bitterness can be like a little drop of dye. It will change the color of everything. Okay? This is just bitter. When there is bitterness, bitterness is a filter. Even things that are said in love, bitterness will change their coloration. Because bitterness it filters what is coming in. Once a person is bitter, what is edifying the rest is killing the person. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's bitterness. Number two, manifestation of offense is withdrawal. And that's why you find out. Once you begin to get offended, they begin to withdraw. Separate themselves. I'm busy. I couldn't come to church. Offense is a trap. This is what I'm saying. Several times, you can't do what I'm doing, right? And then things don't happen. Right? Things will blow your heart. But listen to what I'm saying. Let me share this story with you. I share this story in good faith. It is a past story, and everyone has moved on from it. But you see, one day I sat down engaging a young lady, and we spoke, just spoke. And then I found out that the elder sister drank Sniper. And because of depression, you see. And they took her to a quack hospital. And now her internal organs are decaying and she's been smelling from inside. So I called one of my spiritual daughters around that environment. I said, please travel down. She traveled down for 3 weeks. Consistently night and day in the hospital to let you know how bad the case was. I think she ended up using about 2 months. By the time we were done paying full everything, cash, 100% for the girl to be. The moment the girl was discharged, I just stopped seeing the girl in church. I just stopped saying, what is happening? Have we done something bad? She said, no. What's happening? I will see us. We are running service. I'm checking the person's status, another church. You were here. You've been here. I just said the person, we've not been seeing you church. Sphere of Life Church is not really my church. The trap there is that the devil will quickly tell you that is how people are. Withdraw your benevolence. Once he says that, he knows that your blessing is around the benevolence. He wants to cut you off it. What the devil is trying to sever you from is where your breakthrough is. Are you following what I'm saying there? What I'm telling you is that keep matters as matters. Keep people as people. When something happens, this is the person who has done this. This is who I am by revelation. We go again. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give you another experience. This happened on campus. All right? In the fellowship. I've never moved with plenty friends. I have people in compartments. You see, many of the things that we call friendship in the body of Christ, we are deceiving ourselves. The most isolated people, and the devil, are ministers. Boxy people only shout. And see, I say this with all apologies. Forgive me. Many of the pictures and videos you see, oh brother, now lie. They cannot actually trust each other with their problems. I'm saying a lie. Your best friends sometimes are those who are not even in ministry. Because the day you, people believe you and call you a friend as long as you are shallow and you can't share matters that are deep. What kind of a friend can't you share what is deeply wrong with you? You see that now? Because they say, if this person will castle our boss tomorrow, I can't be with this kind of person. They've left you on your own. Are you following what I'm saying? So, I know what I'm saying. We lie. Some people say, covenant brothers. It is before you blow. Once everybody blow. And you know what I mean by blow? Nobody saying brotherhood. That's the fact. Everybody just do to your tent. And then begin to. Hear what I want to share with you. This story. Alright, very important story. Hear this story. My closest friend on campus. Just one close friend. It was part of the expos. We sent them. We are creating cell structures in different hostels. He was creating cell structures. He was giving me feedback. I didn't know he was lying. He was creating cell structures in the name of a ministry he planned to start. By the time we're going to have a tour around those cell structures, myself, the GenSec, and all the top executives, when we got to the places he went to, many of those places were even denied access. He so did it that they poisoned their heart against the fellowship, yet using the resources of the fellowship. So the final day was going to break away. He called for a powerful concert on campus. And then he put my name on the flyer, ministering Pastor Femi Lazarus. Who began to call me that we honor this meeting, we saw you be ministering. What meeting? What are you talking about? I request for a sample of the flyer, saw the flyer, my name. How? We called him, he said, when to start the ministry? The ministry became the fastest growing ministry around campus. Everyone, even those who were pastoring in church in town, many of them left church. On Sunday morning, we stand, look at the labor we have done in this town. People are moving to that church. That was the happening place. Around. What is this? Now, in order to preserve brotherhood, one of those mornings, I went to that church and I hugged him at the door. We really honor what God is doing through your life. Even when we know that this is not the way to start, there's no problem. But we honor it. All right, God strengthens you, and let's not be far from each other. And that was how we left it. In less than 2 months, one morning, he ran. I heard somebody knocking, 2-6, knocking my door. What happened? I opened the door. It was not my friend. He was on boxers and singlet. Oh boy, what happened? Voila. Let me enter. Enter. What happened? It was one of the members that beat him. Beat pastor to pop. He actually escaped for his life. They wanted to kill him. What happened? They say, the person was trying to harass him. We went into, listen to what I'm saying. I myself went to defend him. Got police involved in the matter. Get this boy arrested. You can't treat him like this. This is what I'm saying. Because in the days of trouble, that's when you know. When the person who has done you bad is now in trouble, you will know whether you are offended or not. Because you can go quietly and say, that's it. I have gone to that point where it is not in the interest of the kingdom that this church fold up. Are you following what I'm saying? So I found out. All right. Long story short, I found out what happened. Got the voice notes and everything. The person recorded phone conversation. We did not know that a young man was actually a gay. He was talking to one of the members of the church. And say, yeah, I love you. You know, this. The guy should come. The guy came. He was staying in one house. At the back of the house. The guy came there. He was talking to the guy. He was trying to touch the guy and kiss the guy. The guy had already set his friends around who were watching. They were the ones that pounced on him and beat him to that. All right? We found out the truth, but we didn't use it against him. We settled the matter. So the church folded up. That was how that church closed down. Are you following what I'm saying now? But hear me. Hear me. When the whole problem came, where did he run to? My house. Because he knows I am safe in his hands. Are you following what I'm saying there? That's where he came to. And we didn't go about, because when you hear people share testimony, church people share testimony. I see some people who thought they were this. Ah, we saw their hand. That's a testimony of a man who doesn't know God. I am saying even Joseph is not ready for the throne until his brothers are safe in his hands. The plan is hidden in Judah, and Judah must survive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even Joseph, who had broken through, is not about you. There's a seed. Are you what I'm saying? Moses will come through Levi. These guys are coming. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. Now, listen to what I'm saying. All those who left church, everybody now started coming back. One by one. We accepted them. The guy who left us, that we say, oh, bad thing. This is not good. This is not good for the fellowship. Now we found out he's a gay. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that he left? Because listen to what I'm saying. People who are doing it and don't want to repent. Don't just sit down and say, God will change them. Our brothers, auntie-law. But when you see brothers staying with brothers, you don't question that what's happening here. But now, when you see brothers staying together, you have to look and check. Oh boy, are you good? Ask. In those days, when you see a guy and a girl, you are asking questions. Now, two guys, you are, boy, what did happen? Since that day, you started walking and you're shaking your bum. What is happening? What in the happen? You ask, true or not true? Listen though. You must pass the test of offense to climb. You must. And anytime you're offended, it's because you are closer to your inheritance. You must pass the test of offense. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, number three, offense manifests itself in anger. Anger has two dimensions. The first is explosion. Who do they think they are? Yeah. Explosion. The second is the worst, implosion. All right, listen to what I'm saying. Hold on. Do you know what happened to the Ocean Gate? That stuff. The submarine. Anyways, I went through more than 10 documentaries on that thing. And I just asked myself a question. When you are entering a submarine at that level of pressure and the controller is like a gamepad. You know, like I said, there are some deaths that you can't really find Africans dying those deaths. Because as much as we have problem, we really cherish our life. You understand what I'm saying? My wife can't tell me now, let's go to Dubai skydiving. You and who? Ow. Dive with sky. With sky. Even your boss up with Ojo and tell you for Oshino. No human being. Birds will fly. Put glass. Your press parachute now, it didn't come out. Change. It didn't come out. Press, it didn't come out. You get to heaven, angels are asking, how? You see, I 60 more years, how? So I kill myself. See, I'm not involved though. God knows. Are you following what I'm saying? So they enter those things. What actually happened was that the thing imploded, caved in, busted from within. When you implode, you have exploded inside, but you are not talking.
That energy will sustain a character of separation, rejection, and resentment for a longer time than the one who explodes. When the one who explodes, you calm the person down. At least you know what is inside. You say, this is, I don't like what is happening. Actually, so you say, no, it's not like that. They feel like this is. Good morning. Would this teacher say, I was busy. Person is shaking the leg. No, you are wondering, shaking the leg. Your department, you're no longer functioning on them. I'm not feeling fine. Is that all, sir? Thank you so much. You are no longer in church. Listen, see, listen to what I'm saying. What is on the inside will rub off on the outside. Once you get it wrong on the inside, you can't fake the outside. Are you understanding? Where we settle is on the inside. Pay attention to the decisions, the conclusions on the inside. Church is not a place of perfect people. There will be offense. One day, choir court that is going through his own. Maybe choir court has just seen the pastor in the office, brass bows. Hey, what are you singing? Is that soprano? Is that how they sing soprano? Is. See? There's one brother in our church growing up. I don't want to mention his name, so any member there will not go and cut this video I sent to him. Unfortunately, it was the choir court. And he does not really know much about communication. For instance, if you are playing drum and he doesn't feel what you are playing, it is before the whole church. You say, Tade, yeah. Everybody watching you. Come. Sino, yeah. If care is not taken, you will say, I don't want to have anything to do with this person. Somebody will be singing. You know, there's one sister in that church that whenever she holds the mic for praise and worship, we know we will sleep. We know. You just hear the song. Abasiya, ya, ya, oh, ya, ya. Ah, we know. Oh, he likes that sister. He will never say she's strong. But you, that you are trying to bring an invention, just say, yeah, yes. Lobo Mike, Lobo. You'll be there wondering, what have I done wrong? And on several occasions, you tell them, come. People will be here. But this is the person we are under. Listen. I have noticed that every situation, whether good or bad, can be for your good. When it is bad, there is something God wants to use that it to also bring out of your own life. Don't walk in self-pity. The devil will meet you there. What I'm saying is not a license for rudeness. Because the more God promotes you, the more you serve. You come to the level of people and serve them. But I'm saying things happen. And sometimes also, maybe a woman, this person is working in a bank just closed by 5, went to pick her child from crèche, and then maybe protocol members supposed to gather by 5. This person is coming 5:30. Empathy. Where are you coming from? And that's why I beg leaders. The place of resentment as a leader comes from the conclusions you have made about people. And what the devil will try to do is to get you to conclude. Once you conclude as a leader, you will never see situations in the light of what they are. When the person is trying to explain, you think it's a lie. As leaders, cut people slack to understand them for what they are saying. Believe to the pure, all things are pure. So when I found out this secret and people are doing things, I just say to myself sincerely, this person doesn't mean it. So that we can still stand the chance of a better relationship. But the person might be talking to yourself, liar, liar. And sometimes that's where the problem is coming from. Somebody has concluded. It can be that a member too has concluded about the pastor. I don't mind him. You see that now. And I notice that many people go through many things in church. Pastor restores and show them peace. Members have zero consideration or zero tolerance for pastors. If somebody is broke and we say that we will sow a seed from, let's sow a seed from welfare purse. Let's sow a seed. A pastor's child is sick and there's no money. It's a crime for the pastor to reach out. Okay, this is the management team. Is that person too not a church member? I'm not there yet. Maybe on Sunday I'm going to teach that. All right, because when God gives you pastor, you must know how to treat your pastors well. Many members who complain about pastor have never sold one naira to his life. The most complaining member, one naira. Christmas will come like this. They will even be asking the pastor, so he's come and eat chicken in your house. Which is good. It's good. But do you even have an idea of how this person is living? Because the media has lied that pastors are eating church money. And those in church believe. They believe. I've been on Uber for close to a year now. I can afford cars. And I know what I'm saying. But if I should drive in a Land Cruiser Prado and park outside, say, it's Fear of Light Church. Sphere of Light Church. See the way he's glowing and the skin of his wife. Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Try. Hope you know that there's going to be a special judgment in heaven for how we treat our pastors. Oh, yes. Don't doctrinal police. Don't hold what I've said. I'm very conscious of doctrine. Don't just, dear Emma, calm down. I hold it. Ezekiel 34. Said, I will judge between ram and ram. Said, I will judge between ram and how they treat their shepherds. Said, when you have eaten the green pastures and tasted of the good waters, do you consider it a right thing to now spoil and foul it for the rest? This man has blessed you. You are offended at him. Anybody who now come to ask you, you describe the man in a bad light. Was there a time he blessed you? Hey, I'm a balance here. At least let's be balancing it, okay? Because every time he blessed you, all my life, you're offended. That's all. One of the things offense does, it induces memory loss. You forget all the good things. And the devil now narrows your focus to the ones that are not so good, most of which are not true. And when offense meets pride, the pride will give you a story to make you stay longer in the offense. That story will not be your trophy of justification. This is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Throw the story away in humility and humble yourself. There's an inheritance for you in your local church. Offense will get you out of it. It will mess you up. And you see, hey, let's take caution. Let's take caution. A church in Lagos, powerful church. If you count 10 churches, church among the top 10. The direct assistant pastor in charge after the GO. Just got offended. Say, God has called us out of our ministry. Sam is even getting things wrong. They see everything wrong. You come late to church, enter when the pastor is preaching. All those is manipulation. The victim is not the church. The church of Jesus, built by Jesus, can't be a victim of one person. Even if they're a clique, a church can't be. People say, we'll shut this church down. They've said over the years, church have not shut down. When this ministry had people said that, you shut down in 6 months, we are still standing.
See, one thing about offense is that it tells you that once you leave, others too will leave. We're not the only one. So that one too will leave. You will see that that's when they begin to enjoy it. The offended is alone. He doesn't know. So he's trying to, when he talks to people, he's trying to, hey, you see that thing. You're alone. Those people will, they will begin to eat and fart. And they'll say, don't mind him. He said, ministry takes wisdom. You hear what I'm saying? The pastor said, is that enough? Okay. He knows this is not the right thing to do, but both of you come. Let me pray for you and release you officially. The day was going to pray for them to release officially. The pastor came out. The wife sat down in the church. Said she's not coming out. After the whole thing, they were released. Okay? Year one, year two, year three. As at that time, the man was having about 5 cars doing business. Powerful, wealthy guy. The next time he was seen in a BRT, was standing, looking tattered. Listen to what I'm saying. Offense can give you a calling that God did not give you. Heaven will not back up what you made up from assumption. Let me leave it there. Because so that it doesn't, I don't over. Sorry. Anytime there's offense, listen though. The devil is trying to fence you from life. You must understand that. You must keep saying it. I won't pick offense. I won't pick offense. I won't. And listen to what I mean. Sometimes people come to church. Ah, this is my church. Ah, let's go. That doesn't necessarily mean there's depth, but it's good. But it doesn't mean there's depth. All right? The woman who met at the well of Samaria, after the encounter with Jesus, she had gone everywhere. Talk about Jesus. It's good. But I'm not sure she did for more than that day. It is one thing to be excited. Ah, I just found my pastor. I put some like, see my church. Powerful. Calm down. When you get to a place, understudy the place. How are things done here? It's wisdom. And you will notice, because people will not take that discipline. A pastor is preaching. A pastor is preaching. Say, yes! That's my papa! Well done. Preaching. Yes! Give it to us! Calm down. Yes! Yeah! Ovimio! And I'll say, Egbo, we have said you should calm down. Okay? Relax now. The fourth time. Osha, help us. Help this person. Say, don't mind them. In that way, you can't express your joy. Every house have their own policy. One time, the choir were singing in Ibadan. I was in my office. I said, what am I hearing? Papa, get level. Hey, get level. Hey, apostle, get level. Hey, what am I in praise and worship for God? I said, go and collect Mike from the hand of that person that is saying get level. And bring the person to my office. Your pastor, get level. Hey, get level. Hey, Papa, get level. Hey. Kalema Haida Kapadisha. I know once in a while you must have been tempted to sing that song. You just remember that day. Oh, that glorious day. That glorious day. You know, there's a way you kill the fire of something in a way that even it can't rise again. The person will never forget that you don't do this here. A man can be loud and not deep. Take time. Study where God has planted you. Then enter from the perspective of love. Don't enter with any preconceived notions. When you do that, you will not do well. You will not do well. You will not do well. And listen to me. All right. Now, Abuja is a young church. One of the challenges of old church that have been planted for a while is that people have their different versions of stories about the church. And it is not everyone that is a worthy ambassador. Not everyone. Anywhere. There's no church where there's no breakaway. You just have to choose. It won't be me. Yeah. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, I know what I'm saying now. Listen, there are different companies in every church. Those who are getting it right. Those who are not. Those who are confused. Those who are neutral. Do you know what's happening? I don't even know. I just came to church. It's better to be among the neutral than to be among the offended. And in church too, don't get yourself into trouble. Hey, that sister, hey, I noticed, since she got married, she has not had a child. Shh. It's not every, shut up. Maybe you see a leader in a relationship, now say, I was praying. I saw it, that's not the person's husband. Ah. You now call fellow people. Let's intercede. Or maybe you are in a place where your pastor is not married, is in a relationship. Now say, as I was praying yesterday for pastor, I saw it, that the woman he wants to marry is Jezebel. It's Jezebel. Sister, this is, come and join me. Let's begin to intercede for pastor. You are the one getting yourself in trouble. But that intercession is going to send you out. True? As you are interceding, they are saying, get out. As a single pastor, you could not even see me and tell me that you had a vision that was about to. No, you know, there are things that even demons will say, shut up, Pastor Bear, don't say it. This is not the kind of person to tell. As you are talking to me, I saw, sir, the Pastor Mimi is not your wife. Come, follow me. Talk to me. What do you mean? She's not, Oh, you saw it. Yeah. Pidgeot, take it from here. Tell him what you told me now. All right. God bless you. I know we'll never meet again. Well, they know what to do. Just take it off from there. Make sure you tell him what you told him. If you can, okay. So what he said is that you have to take it off from there. See the person down from Genesis. Oh, sorry, man. You don't. You want to enjoy your time in church. Avoid prognosing. Mind your business. Period. You see, that every time our choir guy, Bright, is singing, is that sister that always stand behind him? She is not what I'm thinking. Oh, I can't remember this way. A girl called me years back. Over an hour of conversation on the phone. And there's some total, and one thing, and I noticed my life pattern. The kind of friends I attract are people who like to talk. Because I listen. And people don't know what I know. Because when you are not talking, people just assume you're a fool. And I also noticed that many of them don't get blessed by me, except for those who are very wise. Because they feel, since they are the one talking, they are the ones who know much. And I don't argue. I just live my life. So, the girl called over 1 hour. And
She was showing me different encounters that prove that I'm her husband. And while she was in that combat, I knew you are talking to the right person. I know how to handle this matter in the best way possible. So one of the encounters that she said she had that made her know she's my wife was that one of my spiritual sons met her at campus gate and called her Mommy Joe. He said, that's it. That's it. That's it. So when she shared, no, he called her my mother in the Lord. He was just joking. So he called her that. He said, that's it. So when she shared that, I said, okay. Wow. This is really deep. Let me call you back. That was all I said. For over 5 years now, I've not called back. I knew that's the end. She basically would just wait and by herself to occur to you, I was a fool. Yes, oh God, I should not have said that. You know, it was just self-awareness. There are things you hand over to time. No matter what you want to educate this person, for the person to have the audacity to say this, the person can't understand. So hand the person over to time. We'll talk later. That later can be 2 years or never. When we'll see at the resurrection morning. Praise God. And I don't take things for granted. One time I wanted to take picture when the Banner Church just started. A sister was trying to stand beside me. She felt not convenient for whatever reason. I can't stand behind pastor. No problem. If you are not okay, me too, I'm not okay. That's my life. Okay? One of my boys said, no, stand there. You don't know whether it's a prophetic position. I said, follow me. Come. Oh, so bad. Oh, so bad. You don't talk like that. You don't. I dealt with the person till that mouth will no longer open anyhow. How dare you tell a single sister that time beside a pastor who is single is a prophetic position? The kind of mouth that housed that possibility was dealt with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Church is a place of sense. Sit down, sir. Say, this is strategic. What prophetic? What's prophetic about? And meanwhile, let me share something with you. One of the things that should show us we don't do things anyhow. One time, you know, as single, our eyes see small. I was in a meeting. So, I saw a sister. Just greeted. And she did look beautiful and a child of God. So I thought we could be friends. I said, just ask that question with discourse and all that. And I get to know. I said, no. She went back home. It just occurred to her that the person she was talking to, that's actually Pastor Femi Lazarus. She reached out by herself and said, sister, that initial person I saw, I choose to believe that report. I don't want to allow. That possibility I saw is dangerous. It was a serious matter. Right. So, matter continued. I just knew to avoid this person. This thing can't work. One day, and the sister kept coming around. How are you doing, sir? Hey, I saw one of your meetings. It blessed me. Thank God. God bless you. One day, we were sitting at the back. I was wearing Ankara. So she didn't even, you understand what I'm saying? Very awkward situation. One day, I was dressed, going to church. I had worn my suit. I can't remember whether it was, I think it was a blue suit. Dressed. As I step out of the gate, the Holy Ghost said to me, go and change it. So I went to go and change the suit. I picked another one. War. When I got to church, usher led me to sit beside the sister. She was on blue suit.
And the person they let to sit beside me, beside that, so in the middle of two sisters, was also on blue suit. And the Holy Ghost said to me, you would have confirmed the both of them in their heart if you did not obey. Alright, that is, two sisters can come to church and say, God, show me a sign, is the one. Because you did not obey the Holy Spirit. You just go there and confirm nonsense. They just go and then, and it's not their fault. They prayed at their level. Do you understand what I'm saying? They prayed at their level. Church is a very serious place. It's our spiritual family on earth. But church is also a spiritual clinic. There are patients. Some have recovered. Some are recovering. Some are not responding to treatment. And some have infectious disease. What they have needs quarantine. Quarantine. You, for this, do you understand what I'm saying? No, the church is strong to make bold decisions. We can decide we will not join a couple together if they don't play by our rules. We can decide we won't wed you with this wedding gown. We can! The media will shout. There's nothing they can do. Let them go and start their church and wed them. We can't decide. The church is a place of standard. So we're in a generation. Look at what happened. Look at what happened in Port Harcourt. Those couple wanted to get married. They delayed the pastor for 1 hour, 30 minutes. The pastor was sick to the point of death. They said they want him to join them. The pastor's wife said, you don't understand. This man can barely walk. He was inside 1 hour, 30 minutes. So what was on media? They were taking videos. Can you imagine? We're in this church. They say they will not join us together. What kind of church is this? Look at the name of the church. This. We all saw it. The pastor was dying. The wife was saying, this man can't. Since you want him to join you together, come to his office. Let him do it there. The sister, I think eventually they packed themselves and left. Or I think he still did it. The pastor died the following day. He was that sick. Hey, look at this church. And they call themselves the church of God. Noise is cheap, sir. And that's why no man takes this honor on himself. If you are not called. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. Take something home tonight. Have mercy on your pastors. Because people should be taught on how to treat their pastors. Have mercy on your pastors. But let me quickly give you a very important point. You have duties in your local church. You have duties. Oh yes, you have duties. You have duties in your local church. So you have threefold responsibility as a church. You have threefold, as members, you have threefold responsibility. The first one is to God. That is ministry to God. You should minister to God in church. Acts 31, certain prayers and teachers gathered, they minister to the Lord with fasting. That is to live a life of worship. You have ministry to believers. You can write down Romans 12 from verse 1 to 2. Your body is also a living sacrifice. You will offer it as an acceptable offering to God. And as touching ministry to God, like a bride, your first duty is to the groom, the husband, the head of the church, Christ. That's our most important duty. But you have ministry to believers also, which is number 2. That is, you have ministry to edify one another. You have ministry to edify one another. Let's check the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Hebrews, chapter number 3, verse 13. Look at it. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That is, once you begin to say, I'm in that church, but I don't relate to anybody there, you are going to become hardened. That thing isolating you is going to give you, put you in trouble. Are you following what I'm saying here? How do you say you have a church, but you don't relate to anybody there? That's a wrong spirit. Show something is not right. True or not true? Now look at this. Once there is consistent and continuous edification amongst brethren, sin won't have a place. It won't. But you have ministry also to the world, which is evangelism. You have to evangelize. It's our duty. And listen, one of the duties we also have is missions. Look up, everybody. And let me say this. And let me say it frankly with you. You see, you don't just come and sit down in church. Soul winning is an assignment that has been given to all believers. The same way the pastor will stand before Jesus to give account is the same way you too will stand before God to give account. There is no reward for membership. There's blessings for it and all that. What God wants to do. But there's eternal reward for soul winning. For moving the kingdom forward. And some people say that, when I go to church and I give offering, I give all that, I'm done. It doesn't matter how little you fill this place is. Just this place alone, the equipment here and the things you have seen here, all right, they are not matters of 15 million. And I'm just telling you. When you go to what we have there, that's tens of millions. Sometimes just one camera, they tell you 2.5 million. If we relegate our duty to just offering and tithe, are you moving the church forward? You're not. It's our duty. We must understand. As members, we have duties. So we don't fold our arms and say, it doesn't matter what goes by. No. We have duties. One time I told myself, I can't be riding SUVs around and church is not fine. I said, I can't. It's good to have good cars. I love good cars. I'm not in a competition with anyone. This is where we are. Whatever sacrifice required, I'll make it. So we don't just say, we'll give you. Wait, we lead in it. I remember one time I stood in church. We didn't have a keyboard. We had to go and borrow and all that. I said, we are going to get it. I told him, I said, we are emptying all our accounts. How much is that keyboard? Let's go and buy a keyboard. When we did, on our way home, we found out that our daughter's diapers had finished. And there's no diapers. I said, we've emptied everything and our pampers had finished and all that. I said, gather all the face towels and package them and put them there. You'll be fine. While I said that, somebody just sent me 3,000 naira. I said, this person may not even know the weight of what is. I won't say to the apostle, that 3,000 is small. But at that point, it was a major sign that God sees. So I said, okay, let's park by the mall. How many can this buy? Just go and buy what you can buy. We went back home singing with joy and gladness. If people say that let's honor this man of God tomorrow, he's traveling everywhere. Let's buy him a jet. They say, they are thieves.
That's why people say some things, they die. They just die. Because you don't understand the weight of a man's sacrifice. There's nothing I have that I consider permanent. Material things. Mm-mm. Everything is waiting for the next instruction. Oh, Apostle God laid my heart to send you these millions. Ah, thank you. It does not boost my emotions. God, thank you for the provision. What do I do from here? And it becomes a crime to see something is going off in church and I shut my bowels of concern. Are you following what I'm saying here? I love what Pius Gelting said. He said, God's strategy is men. We have a duty. One time, Pa Akindayomi, God told him, say, tell the people to empty all their accounts and bring the church. Ah! Let's assume a man of God go and say that now. Insta blog. And listen, none of these guys can make the church cower and bend to their rules and their gimmicks. And they might drag our fathers and they've not seen the next guys coming. You drag, we ride on that wave. And we start commenting programs we have upcoming in that comment session. Because we know that both the good and bad are coming to see it. We get robust in adversity. That's the kind of church that we are. Are you following what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, we have a duty. We have a duty. Every one of us. We're going to preach. We're going to push the work. We have a duty.
That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is the mission of the International School of Ministry, ISM. Brace yourself and get set for an equipping.